Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What are the highlights and lowlights of TV 2022 so far? We'll serve up some answers, thumbs up, thumbs down style, next. Also ahead, Squid Game surprise at the Screen Actors Guild Awards last night, CNN's new leader, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I'm presented on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in on this final day of February 2022, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 36 degrees at the top of the hour on this final day of February 2022. Happy Monday afternoon to all of you. We thank you for tuning us in to the program all about TV's current and future. We have a very unique show for you today. No guests, and we do invite you to be involved in our special thumbs up, thumbs down segment we're going to try for the first time. If it works, we may bring it back as an ongoing feature. So we want to hear from you. What's your sort of thumbs up, thumbs down thoughts on TV 2022 so far? Well, give us a call. We want to know. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is open for business as well for your thoughts, too. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We will get to our news notes, our classic trivia question, and our special thumbs up, thumbs down on these first 2 months of 2022 television-wise after these news notes. And we begin with a recap of last night's Screen Actors Guild TV Awards that were presented on TBS and TNT. And if you didn't catch it, there was a huge surprise in the TV categories, and that surprise belonged to Squid Game. I have a hunch nobody expected that Squid Game would win not one, not two, but three Screen Actors Guild Awards to become the leading program to win. And the Squid Game Awards went for, check this out, Best Male Drama Series Actor, that's Lee Jung-jae, Best Female Drama Series Actor, that's Jung Ho-soon, and nobody I'm sure expected that, and for Best Stunt Performer. In the other TV categories, in the miniseries categories, the best male TV movie or miniseries actor was Michael Keaton for Hulu's Dope Sick, and in the female category, Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown. As far as comedy series was concerned, male went to Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, female Jean Smart for Hacks. And in the ensemble categories, Succession for drama ensemble, Ted Lasso for comedy ensemble, Squid Game for stunt ensemble. As it ended up, Netflix, because of its triple header with Squid Game, was the big winner among networks or streaming services with three, HBO and Apple TV Plus tied with two, and HBO Max and Hulu won each. And in the shows, again, Squid Game led with three, Ted Lasso had two. Again, the Screen Actors Guild Awards took place last night, and it was simulcast on TBS and TNT. After 6 years running The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Chris Licht will depart to become CNN's new chief executive. The appointment takes effect when CNN parent Warner Media separates from AT&T, and merges with Discovery, Inc. That's expected before the end of April. Before his Late Show run, Licht executive produced CBS This Morning and NBC's Morning Joe. Uber series creator producer David E. Kelley and Bosch author Michael Connelly will collaborate on Avalon, one of the new series ABC will premiere during the 2022-23 season. Avalon is a murder mystery drama set on Catalina Island. Connelly wrote the short story inspiring Avalon, which will be a co-production of A&E Studios and Disney's 20th television unit. Classic PlayStation game Twisted Metal will be turned into a half-hour Peacock attraction this fall for 2023. Sony Pictures Television and Universal Television will team up as producers for this live-action series, with The Falcon and The Winter Soldier co-star Anthony Mackie starring as the milkman turned combat driver. Now, quickies, former Leverage star Timothy Hunt has filed a lawsuit against the producers of IMDb TV's Leverage Redemption. Hutton claims the producers breached an agreement for him to repeat his Leverage role in the sequel when sexual assault allegations were reported, allegations that ultimately did not result in a trial. Tyler Henry's Life After Death series hit Netflix March 11th. And Chelsea Devante, the head writer on The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple TV+, will write and produce comedy series for 20th Television under a just-announced multi-year agreement. And that is News Notes for today. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week in a row, we're bringing the question to you. Let's see if we can get February done with a winner, which would be our third winner in 5 weeks and our second in 3 weeks. So here we go. The question, name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. Hint, two-word title. Another hint, the first word has an apostrophe. Name Netflix's first unscripted series that debuted in 2015. Two-word title, the first word has an apostrophe. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and address when you get that email going. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the Nails It Cookbook, baking challenges for the rest of us. Good cookbook for the entire family based on the popular multi-year Netflix series. That's the Nails It Cookbook. Can be yours if you come up with the correct answer first to our classic trivia question. Again, the question, name Netflix's first unscripted series, two-word title, first word has an apostrophe, and it premiered in 2015, 7 years ago. If you know the answer, again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and if we don't hear from a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, at Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. So remember, in order to win, play that hunch in today, and all the very best. In a couple of moments, our thumbs up, thumbs down check on TV 2022. And we want to hear from you, so give a call or post something in the chat room. But first, let's hear from the fine folks who are our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're a fan of wonderful comedy, one of the most popular comedians right now is Ali Wong. And she's come up with a brand new audiobook you can get right now with a one-month trial to Audible.com. That book is called Dear Girls. That's Ali Wong's Dear Girls. It could be yours with a one-month trial with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and much inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from. The best part is you can listen to them anytime on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D. And when you do, you get one free audiobook, that one-month trial. You get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And while supplies last, important health and wellness information. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, you're in better luck. You get two audiobooks for your trial. One of them can come from the growing catalog, fast-growing catalog, I might add, of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one woman and one man shows, and so much more. So how about making today the day you determine that Audible.com can definitely transform the way you or someone you love can hear the world. Makes a great gift for you any time of the year. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Believe it or not, we are now 2 months in to 2022, 2 months down, 10 months to go, and there has a lot been happening over these first 2 months. And we thought we'd like to, in the absence of a guest today, do a quick retrospective, but do it in a very interesting way. Two of my favorite people over the years, watching them on television and other places too, was the great team of Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel, dueling film critics from the various key Chicago papers, the Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Tribune. They literally wrote the book and set the bar on television film criticism. They did it first with PBS's long-running series Sneak Previews. Then they moved into syndication, first with At the Movies for Tribune Entertainment, and then Siskel and Ebert At the Movies for Disney. All three shows were very well produced, and they really set a great standard for how you showcase films and critiquing films on television. What really made the shows go was Roger and Ebert's personality. Yes, they could argue about a film till kingdom come, but they were wonderful at it. They were great writers. They were people who loved film, and they had great respect for both the filmmakers and the art and the audience watching films at their local theaters. Always a fun time catching Roger and Gene. Sadly, I never had the chance to really talk to them in a big way. I sort of, in some happenstance, they were doing I was in Chicago briefly for a convention of BPME, that's the folks who do broadcast promotion and marketing. And they had done a panel session there. I sort of met them on the way to one panel to another. Talked to them briefly. Great people. They were there together, walked together, had a fun time. I wish I could have I wish they could have stayed around to have been on my show. I would have done an hour with them. Sadly, Gene Siskel passed away because of a brain situation. I lose brain cancer. And then Roger Ebert had the throat cancer situation, which led to his silence and then later his death. Luckily, he is still with us through RogerEbert.com, the website he founded, and is still going on through his widow and his followers. They were great, great people. Super critics, super people, whether you saw them in their shows, saw them on Tonight Show or other talk shows, they always had something to say. They always had something interesting. They were also one of the few film critics on television to showcase international films, made-for-TV movies. They did all sorts of special shows. They had that annual list of the worst films of the year, the dogs of the year. And they also had that wonderful special, If We Pick the Oscars, where they got the chance to pick the Academy Awards for any given year. Always a lot of fun. Great, great people. Two of the finest, I think, people to become television personalities. And they deserved all the fame they got and then some. I wish there could be another Siskel and Ebert because, frankly, what they did was truly very special in television. And one of the things they did was they had this system called thumbs up, thumbs down. Roger Ebert really led the way. And the idea was if you liked the movie, thumbs up. If you didn't, thumbs down. So I thought it might be nice in the absence of a guest today to sort of review some of the interesting things that have happened in television so far this year, and there has been a lot. So for the next minutes or so, let's check out some stories that happened, and we'll give them a thumbs up or thumbs down. Again, I'd like to hear from you. What are your thumbs up or thumbs down of what's happened on TV so far? Go right ahead and put them in the chat room. SimonApple04, you'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. First up, a thumbs up to ABC for two shows that have premiered so far this year that have turned out to be a lot of fun. One is Abbott Elementary, which is a fantastic comedy about life in a Philadelphia high school, a Philadelphia public school, with a wonderful star named Keita Brunson who created the series. We had the executive producers on our show late last year before the show premiered in January. The show has turned out to be a winner. And I'm happy to say that the viewers have learned to love it, too. And I have a hunch it will be up for a lot of Emmy Awards this late summer, this early fall. The other show, Judge Steve Harvey. What can you say? Judge Steve Harvey, once again, has conquered. He's conquered game shows. He's conquered the Shark Tank kind of show. Now he's conquered the courtroom show. And he's done it in his own style. He's funny. He also exercised a lot of common sense. The cases have been terrific and arresting. And the studio audience, or the courtroom audience, I should say, just loves it, and so do the viewers. I think Judge Steve Harvey is going to be presiding over court for a long, long time, and I hope he does. It is a terrific show. I think it's one of the sleeper shows so far of this year and of this whole 2021-22 season. Thumbs up to what the mega content services have been doing so far, whether it's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, Topic, and, of course, all the Plus services. We've had a lot of good shows already coming on. Second season of The Witcher on Netflix, In From the Cold, the Article series, and just recently, over this past weekend, Vikings Valhalla, the sequel to the popular History Channel series. Hulu has had a good run so far with some of their shows. Amazon, too. And Apple TV Plus, Fraggle Rock, whose executive producer was on our show last month. It turned out to be one of our most popular episodes so far this year. And also the new series, Suspicion and Severance. Off to really great starts. Every single one of the services, Plus Services, BET Plus, Paramount Plus, they've come to play, and it looks like they're going to continue to give us a lot of great television the rest of 2022. So thumbs up to all the mega content services. A thumbs down to Samsung for an announcement that should have had more attention at CES 2022 last month than it did, and that's because of the way Samsung played it. Samsung announced very briefly that they're launching a product called Home Hub. It is a virtual assistant on your television set that will help you navigate how you live in your home or apartment, whether it's dealing with your air conditioning, your lights, your appliances, the front door, the home security system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, Samsung didn't say much, and they still haven't said much. We're still trying to get them to talk about Home Hub. They didn't come out with a press release. I think it's one of the most important stories that's going to come out this year is this idea of digital assistants or assistants that look like humans that is created from artificial intelligence. We had MayaMD on the show last Tuesday, There's no question that this is a major story with interactive television, with smart home TV and so forth, and I think Samsung owes to say more to the press and the public about what Home Hub is all about. And Samsung, we're still reaching out to you. Anytime you want to talk about this in depth, we're waiting, and it'd be great. A thumbs up to Molly Solomon, the executive producer of NBC's Olympics coverage. Consider the fact that she has had to, in the last year, do not one, but two Olympics within a year of each other, the Olympics last summer, Summer Olympics in Tokyo, with a coronavirus pandemic impacting Japan to the point there were no fans in the stands, and then 7 months later, doing a Winter Olympic Games from Beijing, an Olympic Games that frankly should have been yanked out of China because of what the Communist Party there is doing in terms of having originated the coronavirus pandemic, a global pandemic around the world, the situation with democracy in Hong Kong, all the human rights abuses, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that NBC, under Solomon, was able to put these two Olympics together is absolutely stunning. It's one of the great achievements in sports television, and it should be recognized that way. Solomon should definitely get, when the Sports Emmys come out, a Special Achievement Award or a Lifetime Achievement Award for what she did. I thought she handled both Olympics beautifully. The Beijing Games came off. Great camera work, great play-by-play, great commentary. It was fair down the middle. It was enthusiasm for all the athletes, not just the U.S. athletes. And with the exception of one situation, the Camille Vail came up for live performance the final week of the Olympics, where Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski basically were unprofessional with that performance. And with her, I thought the coverage was just absolutely sensational. Solomon, again, should get a Lifetime Achievement Award when the Sports Emmy Awards come out. And maybe a Special Achievement Award also at the Primetime Emmy Awards later this year. Way to go, Molly. Thumbs up for you and your production team and your entire crew for what you did. On the flip side, a thumbs down to NBC Universal's marketing, promotion, and public relations crew for the absolutely abominable way that these Olympics were marketed, promoted, and publicized. And when you consider the fact that it wasn't helped by the fact, this was the worst-rated Olympics ever, the worst watched Olympics ever, whether it was on NBC, we don't know about Peacock, certainly USA, certainly CNBC. The audience went down, down, down as the Olympics went on, with the exception of the Super Bowl, and it was a one-night wonder. The problem was, it was bad enough that the International Olympic Committee continues to have these every two-year Olympics, where, frankly, the Olympics have become an afterthought with the majority of the American public, at least. Sports media doesn't cover it. You have events scheduled before the opening ceremonies, which is absolutely ridiculous. Then, of course, the whole Community of Olympics situation, how the IOC handled that. And again, not yanking the games from China when the pandemic hit and waited until 2023, 2024 to do them. If that wasn't bad enough, NBC Universal's marketing promotion people were asleep at every wheel. There was not one day-and-day promotion I saw, and a lot of other people saw, on NBC, on CNBC, on US Network. People did not know what was going on any given night because there was no promotion. It was a disgrace. It basically taught a lesson, you know, marketing 101. If you want people to watch what you're presenting, you've got to tell them about it. And NBC Universal did not. On top of that, the PR people were asleep at the wheel. No press conference beforehand. One press conference during the Olympics halfway, and no press conference since. Not to mention, they were supposed to have an event at 30 Rock, didn't have it, and they made the excuse of the coronavirus pandemic when it was very, very clear they could have invited the press to 30 Rock, had everybody present their vaccine card as proof and do their thing with a live event, and then have the press attendants question everybody who was Molly and Mike Tirico, the primetime host, some of the other people involved, and so on and so forth. Absolutely inexcusable for what NBC Universal's marketing, promotion, and public relations people did. I hope they learned a big lesson, which is you have to promote these games. If you want people to watch, no, you will probably never go to the days again where 25, 30, 40, 50 million people watched primetime on a broadcast network, the Olympics. That's never going to happen again because of the way things are now in this mega content era. But you can't give. But if you don't give the marketing promotion effort, if you don't make the effort, you don't give these things a chance to get an audience. And to be frank, I'd be very surprised if the advertising committee did not demand make goods from NBC Universal on every level. And NBC can fudge the ratings all they want to. They can bring in smartphone and out-of-home and tablet ratings. But the bottom line is this was an abomination of viewership. And I hope NBC learns a lot from this. One of the things I hope they will learn is you've got to make Peacock in this Mekonnen era, the be-all, end-all of the Olympics, NBC secondary, maybe USA third, and you must get Telemundo to run the Winter Olympic Games, and Universal as well. Spanish language coverage of both Olympics has to start happening, starting in 2024 and beyond. And maybe the International Olympic Committee by now will understand, if you want to make the Olympics special again, put them on the way you used to. Winter, summer games, same year, every 4 years. That will help make the Olympics be a lot more special than it is right now. Back to thumbs up. Female play-by-play sportscasting happening on ESPN USA Network. So far this year, we are seeing more female play-by-play sportscasters on men's college basketball, on men's pro basketball, and other events as well, and that is absolutely terrific, especially with ESPN and USA Network. Way to go. It's great to see an opportunity for the next generation of female play-by-play sportscast and play-by-play sportscasters overall to get their shot. Really, really super. Big up, big thumbs up to New York Mayor Eric Adams, who last week reappointed Andy Castillo as the head of the Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. Under her reign in the last 2 years in the major round of a pandemic, which could have killed the New York TV production industry, DiCastillo put things in place, packs in place, that not only kept the industry going, but helped it thrive. It's almost at the end of this pandemic, and they have, and Ando Castillo and her team have done a fantastic job expanding the New York TV production community. There will be more TV shows produced in New York by the end of this year. Netflix is really going now with their brand new studio space in Brooklyn. There's a Lionsgate space, which is not far from the borders of New York City in Yonkers. You're going to see many more shows produced in New York. It's great to see. And Ann Castillo deserved to get reappointed by the new mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. Way to go. Combo thumbs up, thumbs down on what the Academy Award has done so far. A thumbs down on the three hosts that were announced 2 weeks ago, namely Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, and Regina Hall. The problem is not them. The problem is this. When you have superstars in movies like Denzel Washington and Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney and Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise, etc., why are they not doing the hosting of the Academy Awards? Why are they not being Academy Award hosts at a time when this show needs a great boost, and I mean a big boost of viewership? If the viewership doesn't happen this year, if we have another debacle like last year, I have a hunch that in 2023, ABC will not run the Academy Awards. It will be on Hulu or someplace else. So it did not help. Again, the problem is not Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and Regina Hall. The problem is other people should have hosted the Academy Awards. However, thumbs up for something I've been calling the Academy to do for years, and that is to limit the technical categories on the Academy Awards live presentations to cinematography, film editing, and visual effects. All the other technical categories are presented an hour or two before the show, and then you get a five-minute recap. Well, as it turns out, that is going to happen to a degree. So this is a combo thumbs up, thumbs down. The thumbs up is for the idea. It will make the Academy Awards a better show and better for the viewers because they don't give a darn who's up for makeup or whatever like that. They do for filming. They do for cinematography. They do for visual effects because they really become our major things. I get there's a lot of people who are very angry because of the way things have been done for decades. It's time. It's time that the Academy get radical and do some things to help the public, to talk to the viewer, not to the industry, to the viewer. So I think this is good. However, a thumbs down on one thing. Best original score should not be given before the show. It should be given during the show. If you're going to do best song during the show, you get best original score. Music is very important to movies. The original score should be part of the Academy telecast, not part of the pre-show. So I hope they make that switch to something else. And again, I understand that the short subject documentary awards are being done in the pre-show. That's great. Again, unfortunately, people don't know these folks. However, if the Academy were to take another step, which is to go to Turner Classic Movies, go to Ovation, go to Bravo, go somewhere and say, let's do two-hour shows on the documentary nominees. Let's do a two-hour show on the short subject nominees. Show the short subjects, show clips, interview the filmmakers, and then give the award live on that presentation. I think it would draw a very good audience, and I think it would be great for Turner Classic Movies. It would be great for Ovation, for Bravo, for A&E, for Lifetime. for different networks. It'd be really terrific. Or it could go on Netflix. You know, go non-commercial if you want, on Netflix or Amazon. I think they'd love the opportunity. But I hope the Academy Award will think about the idea of taking those documentary short story categories and giving them their own two-hour special somewhere. I think it would work, and work very, very well. Finally, two more thumbs up, thumbs downs. First, thumbs up to Law and Order's return this past Thursday on NBC. It's great to see that show back. It never should have gone off the air after season 20. Dick Wolf has been pulling for a season 21 for over a decade. He finally got it. He got Sam Worthington back in a key role. He got Anthony Anderson back in his key role. They brought on some wonderful actors, Jeffrey Diamond, formerly of Burn Notice, Carolyn Mannheim, formerly of The Practice, Hugh Dancy, formerly of Hannibal. I think the chemistry is going to be great, and so far off to a good start. 5.5 million people saw the premiere on NBC Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific time. And by the way, it was number one some time period. So way to go, Dick Wolf. You got your wish, and I hope Law & Order continues for a long time. And a second, by the way, thumbs up to Wolf, the fact that right now he is controlling prime, he is the king of prime time. Nine shows on three consecutive nights, most of them produced in New York or Chicago. Tuesday nights, the FBI franchise on CBS, 3 hours of Chicago franchising on NBC, and then Law & Order, starting with the mothership, back in action on Thursday nights. That is an amazing accomplishment. And Dick Wolf deserves it with his production team. Great, great work. And finally, in light of what has been happening the last week between Russia and Ukraine, a huge thumbs up to the broadcast journalists who are on the ground in Ukraine reporting for all of us. Whether it's Holly Williams at CBS, whether it's Richard Langer at NBC, whether it's the group of people for ABC News, Trey Yinks, Lucas Thomas and everybody at Fox News Channel, other independent journalists, they've all done, I think, an amazing, above and beyond the call of duty job dealing with the conflict with Ukraine and Russia. It's a tough conflict. When you're dealing with the dogs of the fog of war, it's a tough conflict, but they have been straight down the middle in the coverage. In addition, they've been very sensitive to the viewer. I'm sure there's a lot of footage that everyone could have presented on the air, but would have been too graphic and too gory. And it's important that people be in the thick of what's going on. It's that people pay attention to what's going on. So I want to give everybody who is covering this situation great, great credit for how they've done so far. Keep up the great work. This is a wonderful comeback for broadcast journalism, given the what I think was the terrible way that the pandemic was covered from start to near finish. This is a great comeback for broadcast journalism. So everybody involved on the ground in Ukraine, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Stay safe. Keep at it. Keep going. You're giving a great public service to this country and to the world. So that's our thumbs up, thumbs down segment. I'd love to hear what you think. What are your thumbs up or thumbs down? We're going to wrap things up today, right now. So if you would like to give me your thumbs up, thumbs down that we didn't get in, please email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And I'll tell you what, we will, if we get any thumbs up, thumbs down possibilities, we'll showcase them on our next episode Friday. And speaking of Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our first episode of March, we got some wonderful guests in store for you. Our lead guest will be Tara Merchant. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Yana TV Network, brand new service that is premiering next month on smart TV sets and smart devices, based here in New York. They've got studio space in Queens. They have a very interesting community outreach that they're going to be doing. Tara Merchant from Yana TV, she is our lead guest. And then in our second half hour, we'll have the creators of a new series that premiered last night on BYU TV. It's the dramedy Ruby and the Well. The people who did it are the folks that did a wonderful series for BYU TV the last five seasons called Dwight in Shining Armor, Leanne and Brian Adams. They're the creators of this show, Ruby and the Well, which incidentally before it premiered on Sunday night, they got a second season already in the bag and are already working on it as we speak. So be sure to join us for Tara Merchant from Yana TV Network, Leanne and Brian Adams from Ruby and the Well. They're our first March guests this Friday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. All of our episodes this month are available for you, so please check them out. And also check them out on podcasts, whether it's through the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple TV+, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, iTunes, also Apple TV, et cetera, et cetera. So we hope you tune in. We've had some wonderful guests all month long. And we hope to check them out if you haven't already. And we want to thank all of you for the wonderful way over the last 2 weeks you have responded with more than 1,000 replays on Blog Talk Radio alone. So we know we're reaching to you, and we do appreciate you reaching back with us. Also, we'd like to hear from you. Again, what do you think about our thumbs down, thumbs up segment? Would you like to see repeated maybe a couple months down the road to see how either the first half of 2022 went or the second half later this year? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and where you're emailing from. And don't forget, we have our classic trivia question of the week. Let's give it to you one more time. Name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. Two hints. Two-word title. First word has an apostrophe. And if you know the answer, again, use that email. You can also use the email to give us a suggestion for another feature that we do regularly on this program called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we want to give it attention. You got to let us know, though. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. Remember, you can also communicate with me anytime you like on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, however you communicate with us, we communicate back to you within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website services are provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Vitaris Bakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audio book or two and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We are back on Friday with guests, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to, see now and then, please, more than ever, make it safe and make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical situation, find out about the antiviral pill treatments that are now available in many areas of the country, maybe an area near you, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.